Welcome to the lesson. In this session, we're going to build a percussion layer transform formula in Ableton Live 12, designed for jungle, old school drum and bass, rollers, and darker DNB movement. The big idea here is simple. Instead of just slapping effects on a percussion loop and hoping it sounds cool, we're going to make a rack that lets one perc layer evolve over time with macro controls. So this becomes more like a performance instrument than a static loop. That matters a lot in drum and bass, because the track is moving fast. There's not much time for a sound to sit there doing nothing. Percussion has to help drive the energy, create variation, and keep the groove alive without stepping on the kick, snare, or sub. So if you've ever wanted that dry to dubby, clean to broken, tight to wild kind of evolution you hear in jungle-inspired stuff, this is exactly the kind of workflow that gets you there. First, pick a percussion source that already feels good rhythmically. That could be a top loop, a chopped Emin-style fragment, a few percussion one-shots in a drum rack, or a shaker, rim, hat, or conga-style loop. Keep it simple. For this exercise, we're not building the whole drum kit. We're just focusing on the moving percussion layer on top. If your source is audio, drag it onto an audio track. If it's MIDI, use a drum rack. Either way, make sure the source doesn't have too much low end. We want this layer to support the groove, not fight the bass or kick. And here's an early mixing tip. Before you do anything else, reduce the gain a little if the sample is hot. Something like minus 6 dB is a nice safe start. Drum and bass gets dense fast, so headroom is your friend. Now drop an audio effect rack after the source, and inside that rack we're going to build our transform chain. Use these stock devices in this order: auto filter, saturator, beat repeat, echo, utility, and optionally EQ8 at the end. Then map the important controls to 6 macros. Give them names that make sense: tone, crunch, glitch, space, width, and tension. This is the formula. Tone controls the filtering. Crunch controls the grit. Glitch controls the chopped rhythmic behavior. Bass controls the delay feel. Width controls the stereo spread. Tension controls the more unstable, aggressive character. That's the whole idea. We're building one rack that can go from dry and tight to filtered and dubby, then into broken, wide, and energetic territory when needed. Let's start with the filter. Open auto filter and choose either low pass or band pass depending on the source. If it's a bright hat loop, low pass is a good start. If you want more lo-fi color or a narrower band of percussion, band pass can be really nice. A good beginner setting is to keep resonance fairly modest, around 0.2 to 0.4, so it doesn't get whistly or harsh. Then map the cutoff to macro 1, tone. Now think about the macro behavior. At the low end, tone can keep the sound dark and closed, maybe around 800 Hz to 2 kHz depending on the source. At the high end, you can open it up to something like 10 to 16 kHz for a more energetic drop-ready feel. And this is one of the classic jungle moves: start filtered and then open the percussion right before a phrase change or snare fill. That reveal feels old school and musical, not random. Next up is saturator. Place it after the filter so the distortion reacts to a more controlled signal. Start gently. A drive setting around 2 to 6 dB is usually enough to add body and edge without wrecking the sound. Turn soft clip on if needed, and watch the output so the rack doesn't get louder just because it sounds better. Map drive to macro 2. Crunch. With crunch low, the percussion stays pretty clean. As you raise it, you get more texture and attitude. Push it further and the layer starts to feel broken, gritty, and more aggressive. That can be perfect for fills, transitions, or darker drop moments. Important teacher note here: if the loop is already bright, distortion can get spiky very quickly. In DNB, harsh top end gets tiring fast. If that happens, back off the drive or filter a little more before distortion. Now let's bring in beat repeat. This is where the rack starts to feel alive. Add beat repeat after saturator. For a beginner-friendly setup, try an interval of 1 bar or half a bar, a grid of 1/8 or 1/16, chant somewhere around 10 to 30%, and mix fairly low, maybe 10 to 25%. That way it adds motion without completely hijacking the groove. Map grid and chants to macro 3, glitch. At the low end of glitch, the repeats are subtle and almost invisible. As you raise it, you start hearing little stutters and rhythmic bursts. Push it high, and it becomes obvious chopped fill energy. A great DNB way to use this is not to leave it high all the time. Use it in phrase endings. For example, in a 16-bar drop, keep glitch low for most of it, then raise it during the last 2 bars before the next section. That gives you that rolling, edited, jungle-style lift without cluttering the whole track. Next, an echo. Echo can give percussion a dubby tail and a sense of space, but in drum and bass we need it to stay controlled. Use sync time values like 1/8 or 1/16, keep feedback moderate, and keep the dry/wet fairly low, maybe 8-20% to start. Also filter the delay hard so it doesn't muddy the low end. Map dry/wet to macro 4, space. At low space, the percussion stays tight and dry. As space rises, you get more atmosphere behind the hits. At high settings, it can become washier and more obvious, which is great for breakdowns, fills, and transition bars. One thing to remember, in DNB, delay should create motion, not fog. If it starts smearing the groove, reduce feedback first and filter harder. Now let's control the stereo image. Add utility near the end of the chain and map width to macro 5. This gives you a simple way to narrow or widen the percussion layer depending on the section. For a tighter section, you might want it closer to mono or just a little bit wide. For a more open top layer, you can widen it more. Just be careful not to overdo it. Wide percussion can sound exciting, but too much width can weaken the center of the mix and make things feel unstable. If needed, add EQ 8 after utility, high pass the layer somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz so it stays out of the kick and subzone. If the hats get too sharp, a small dip around 3 to 5 kHz can help. If you need a bit more air, a gentle lift around 8 to 10 kHz can work. That's a really important DNB mixing point. Your top percussion should help the groove breathe, not crowd the snare crack or bass presence. Now for the final macro, tension. This one is a little more creative. You can map it to several parameters at once if you want. For example, you could let tension increase filter resonance, push saturator drive, and raise beat repeat chance altogether. That means one macro can make the whole rack feel more unstable and exciting. That's where the performance part comes in. You're not just changing one effect. You're shaping the emotional energy of the percussion. Now let's make it musical with automation. This is where the rack really earns its place in the arrangement. In a simple 8 or 16 bar loop, try something like this. Start with lower crunch and glitch, medium tone, and modest space. Then gradually open tone by bar 5, push crunch a little by bar 7, spike glitch on the last beat before the next phrase, and let space rise briefly at the end of the section. That kind of movement feels intentional. It feels like the percussion is breathing with the track. And remember, short automation ramps usually sound more natural than hard jumps. Even a tiny sweep over an eighth of a bar can make the movement feel designed instead of random. If you're working on a jungle intro, you can start filtered and narrow, then slowly open the percussion as the section develops. If you're working on a roller drop, keep the groove tight but use little bursts of glitch and space every few bars. If you want a darker breakdown, widen the layer a bit, add some tension, and let the delay bloom a little more. Now let's talk about how to judge it in context. Always listen with kick and bass playing. Don't solo the percussion for too long, because in drum and bass the real question is always, does it work in the mix? Ask yourself, is it too bright? Is it masking the snare? Is it stepping into the bass range? Does it still groove when the effects are turned down? If the answer is no, then adjust the macros before you add more volume. That's a big beginner lesson right there. Effects should solve arrangement and mix problems, not just sound impressive in solo. And here are a few common mistakes to watch out for. One is leaving beat repeat on too much. It's a great fill tool, but if it's constantly active, it can make the groove feel messy. Keep chance low and use it in key bars. Another is letting delay get muddy. If echo starts clouding the rhythm, reduce feedback and dry/wet, and filter it harder. Another is oversaturating bright loops. That can turn hats into harsh noise fast. Filter first, then saturate gently. And another big one is forgetting to high pass the percussion. If it's sitting in the low end, it's going to clash with the kick and sub. Clean that up early. Also, don't make the layer too wide all the time. Widening is powerful, but too much width can make the mix unstable. Sometimes the stronger move is to narrow it before a drop, then open it back up after the hit. That contrast is huge. Here's the mindset to keep in your head: layer, not lead. This transformed percussion part should support the snare, bass, and breaks. It should add grit, air, motion, and tension, but not take over the whole track. A really nice advanced trick, if you want to go further later, is to split the rack into a clean path and a dirty path, then blend them with one macro. That gives you a parallel transform feel and a lot more control. But as a beginner, you don't need to overcomplicate it. The main thing is learning how a few macros can make one simple loop feel like it evolves across the arrangement. Here's a quick practice challenge. Set up a loop, build the rack and map the 6 macros. Then make an 8-bar section and automate tone to open slightly by bar 5, crunch to rise on bar 7, glitch to spike right before bar 9, and space to increase in the last bar. Listen with kick and bass, and adjust until the percussion feels exciting, but still clean in the low end. If you want, make two versions. One can be a cleaner roller-style top layer. The other can be more jungle and broken for transition bars. Compare them and see which one moves the track forward better. So to recap, build a percussion transform rack with Ableton stock devices, map tone, crunch, glitch, space, width, and tension. Keep the percussion high-passed and mix-aware and automate it across phrases so it evolves like part of the arrangement. If you remember one thing from this lesson, remember this. In drum and bass, percussion should evolve with the track, not sit still. Alright, let's get into the session and build that rack.